Amen. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's good to see you. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be in church, and it's good to be the church. Amen. Hey, I wanted to remind you, probably about a month ago, Pastor Kurt taught a two-week series called The Biblical Worldview, and it was incredibly powerful. And I would just like to encourage you that if you had time, you ought to go back and listen to those two messages again and just allow the truth of those messages sink into your spirit. Then after that, I did a two-week series, and I talked about end times, and I did a two-week timeline about the events that are coming, what's coming, and it was really good. Of course, that's a vast subject, and I didn't begin to scratch the surface, but I would just encourage you to go back and listen to those 2 weeks of messages. You know, one of the things that really jumped out at me was the Lord said that end times, when we think about end times, it's supposed to comfort us. Okay, listen, we're on the right team. Amen. Our daddy owns the bat and ball, and he's the coach, and we're going to win. Amen. And so when you hear about end times, it's supposed to comfort you, not in a sense make you fearful or otherwise anxious. And then last week, I talked about how Jesus is our kinsman and redeemer, and we looked at the book of Ruth, and there's so much truth in that book. And so I would encourage you to go back and look at that and listen to it online. All you have to do is go to tcf.church, and those messages are readily available. Now, what did we find out? Well, we found out that Jesus is our kinsman and redeemer. Now, the word redeem means to purchase, to buy. And so what Jesus did was, is he paid for your sin. He paid your debt. And we found out that there were four qualifications to be a kinsman redeemer. Qualification number one is you had to be family. You had to be related. And we know that the Bible says in John that Jesus took on flesh and he walked among us. And so he is our family. And so he qualifies in that regard. The second qualification was that a kinsman redeemer has to be willing. They have to be willing to help you. They have to be willing to get involved in your life with what's going on. And we found out, what does the Bible say? Well, Jesus willingly went to the cross, and he willingly died for us. Then the third qualification we found out was a kinsman redeemer has to be able to do it. They have to have the financial ability or the power to be able to help you. You know, I said this jokingly, you don't go to a broke cousin to try to get them to help you when you're in trouble because they can't help themselves. So a kinsman redeemer is somebody that they have the ability to help you. So Jesus is related to us. He's willing to help and he's able to help. And then the fourth qualification is the redemption or the debt, if you will, had to be paid in full. Okay, you don't make installment payments. You don't get redemption in layaway. Okay, yeah, it's either paid for or it's not paid for. Listen, you're not partly redeemed. Okay, you're not partly redeemed. Okay, Jesus paid the full debt that you owed. The Bible says you had a debt you couldn't pay, and Jesus paid it once and for all. So he is our kinsman redeemer, which I love that story. So this morning, we're going to go into the book of Genesis, and I want to tell you another story. Now, these stories are all pointing to Jesus, which is ultimately pointing us to Easter weekend, which is just a couple of weeks away. God had an encounter with a man named Abraham. Now, his name is not Abraham yet, but I'm going to go ahead and call him Abraham. He's 75 years old, and God introduces himself to him. And he is an idol worshiper, and he worships many gods. He's a polytheist. He believes that there are many gods. And so this God, the God we know as Jehovah, speaks to him and says, hey, I'm the one true God, and I want you to follow me. Now, he lived in a place called Ur. Okay, it's actually called the Ur of the Chaldees. That really is not that much difference than Tulsa, Texas, or Hereford, Texas. That's where he lived. And God said, here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to decide to follow me, and I want you to take your entire family, and I want you to uproot. I want you to leave from where you are, and I'm going to show you where to go. And so he had to make the decision, and thank God he made the right one. Then he told God, okay, I'll follow you, and I'll make you my God. Now, why does this story matter? Because this is the birth of the nation of Israel, and out of it is the birth of the Jewish people. And this is a huge thing. Why is it big? Well, out of Israel comes the Jewish nation, and out of the Jewish nation comes Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, our Messiah. So there's a lot hanging in the balance here. So Abraham agrees to go, and he's 75 years old. Well, God tells him, he cuts a covenant with him when he's 85, and he tells him, hey, I have a promise for you. I know you and your wife are old, but I'm going to supernaturally give you a son. Now, it was not a virgin birth, not like Jesus, but it was supernatural in the sense that they were both too old to have children. So God said, I'm going to give you a child supernaturally, even though you're not capable of having a child. And out of this child is going to come a nation. Out of this nation is going to come a people. And out of this people is going to come the Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells him that when he's 85. Well, 25 years go by from 75 to 99 years old. And the child still has not come. She still has not gotten pregnant. They've been waiting. They've been trusting God. They've been holding their ground, if you will, waiting for this promise to come to pass. And they get discouraged. Okay, I get discouraged in 2 days. Okay, right, you know. I mean, God tells me something, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready to do it right now. Much less 25 years later. So they get a plan. Okay, Sarah, Abraham's wife, has an Egyptian slave girl, and her name is Hagar. And so they got together, Abraham and Sarah, and they said, hey, God has not come through. Who knows when he will? So why don't we help him out? Have you ever tried to help God out? Yeah, man, I've helped. I tried, man, you, right, God, I'm going to help you out, right? You know, and you heard about the old lady that always prayed that the liquor store down the street would close, and she would pray, and she prayed, and she prayed. Well, one night she snuck down there and set it on fire and burned it down, and they caught her, and they said, what were you doing? She said, I was just putting legs on my prayers. That's all I was doing. Okay, so that's exactly what Abraham and Sarah did, is they put legs on their prayer. So Abraham and Hagar get together. Naturally, she becomes pregnant, and she has a child, and the child's name is Ishmael. Out of Ishmael comes the Arab people. Iraq, Iran, Jordan, Saudi Arabia. Out of him comes that nation of people. Then later on, God still fulfills the promise, and he gives Abraham and Sarah a child named Isaac. So Isaac is the Jewish nation. Ishmael is the Arab nation, and they've been fighting ever since, and they're fighting today. Listen, the war you see on the news, the people protesting you see all over the world, it is a spiritual battle. It is a clash between two kingdoms. One is the kingdom of darkness, and one is the kingdom of light. So this has been going on from then until now. So God tells Abraham, I want you to take your son, Isaac, and I want you to take him to Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him there to me. That's where we're going to pick up the story in Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Can I give you some advice? Anytime God says your name, always say, here am I. Amen? He says, here am I, which is, Lord, I'm right here. He says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Stop right there. What an impossible request. Take your son, your only son. Now, I find this so interesting. He was not Abraham's only son. He had another son named Ishmael. But the problem is Ishmael was born of the flesh. Isaac was born of the spirit. Don't miss this. You and I are children of the promise. We're children of the spirit. Did you know that the Muslim nation believes that Ishmael is the promised child? But the Bible very clearly says it's not Ishmael. Now, God had a plan for Ishmael. Okay, the plan was for Isaac, and you and I are children of Isaac. We're children of the promise. We're children of the Spirit. So God said, take your son, your only son, even though he knew full well there was another child there. Let me tell you something. God only kisses his babies. Now, what in the world does that mean? Have you ever wanted to do something and you forgot to ask God about it? And you decide you've got a plan or you've got a purpose or you've got a dream and you're going to do your own thing and you're going to fulfill your own destiny. And then as you're going along, you raise up this child of the flesh and you hold it up to God and say, God, would you please bless my baby? God, would you please kiss my baby? Now, I'm not talking about your natural children. Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. God wants to bless your children. God will bless your children. I'm talking about a dream, an idea, a plan, something you think, I'm doing this, but you don't ask God about it. And so you hold it up to God and say, God, would you kiss it? And God says, no. God says, if you'll come to me first, I'll give you a plan, and I promise you it'll be blessed. Amen? So God only kisses his child. So he tells Isaac, he tells Abraham, take your child, your only child, your only son, and I want you to go to Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountain of which I'll tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled the donkey, took two of the young men with him, Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. They traveled for 3 days. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place off. Did you know that scholars suspect that Isaac and Jesus were crucified, were offered as sacrifice pretty close to the same place? Don't you think that's amazing? Listen, Isaac was the son, the innocent son of sacrifice. So was Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He's the innocent son that was sacrificed. Let me keep reading. So Abraham on the third day lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And we will come back to you. That's a statement of faith. I'm going to offer my son as a sacrifice, but he and I will come back to you. I love that. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? When John the Baptist saw Jesus at the Jordan River and he was an adult, you know what John said? Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb. Isaac asks his dad, where is the Lamb for the offering? Listen to what he says. He says, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. In the original language, the word for is not in that sentence. Let me read it to you that way. My son, God will provide himself. Don't miss this. God will provide himself the lamb for the offering. That is a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham doesn't even understand it. He doesn't have a complete revelation of it. And he says, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. They came to the place of which God had told them. Abraham built an altar, placed the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And he raises his hand with the knife. In their sacrifices, they would cut the animal's throat, bleed the animal out, then they would set the wood on fire, and they burned the animal to ash. And the Bible says that the smoke from the offering would ascend to the nostrils of God, and God would receive it as a sweet-smelling savor. Have you ever gone into somebody's house and they're cooking? You know, Miss Vicky bakes bread. When you come in the back door, oh my gosh, it smells like yeast. It's amazing. And you know how when you're there for a while, you don't smell it anymore, but when you go in, you smell it? Okay, that's what this is talking about. You see, when they would give a burnt offering, the aroma of that offering would come before God, then he would receive it and it would bless him. Now, why in the world would a burnt offering bless God? Because it reminded him that it was going to redeem you. It reminded him that he didn't want to be in heaven without us. Isn't that amazing? So he's going up there. He puts his son on that altar, and he raises the knife. And let me continue to read. Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now stop right there. Not only is he going to slay his son, but he's also going to kill the promise. I think that's even bigger than the son. Now don't miss this. Okay, it would be impossible for anybody to offer their child as a sacrifice to God. And by the way, God hates child sacrifice. Okay, God hates abortion. Now, I didn't say he hates a person that's had an abortion. And if you've had an abortion or you know someone that has, absolutely there's forgiveness and repentance for that. But God hates abortion. The Bible says that he hates the hands that shed innocent blood. God never wanted sacrifices of children, and he didn't want it then, and he doesn't want it now. So not only is he asking him to give his son, but he's asking him to give him the promise. What did God say? I'm going to give you a supernatural son. He's going to give you a nation. A nation is going to give us a people, and a people is going to give us a Savior. Now, Abraham didn't understand all that. See, imagine this table is the life of Abraham, and you and I know the story from beginning to end. And so we're looking at this story as a whole. Do you know when you get to heaven that you'll be able to see your life from beginning to end, and it's going to make so much sense to you? And you're going to think, oh my gosh, God, that's what you were doing. God, that's why you wouldn't let me do that. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Why didn't you tell me? Right? Yeah. Why didn't you tell me? Okay. Well, see, that's the way we're looking at Abraham's life. Abraham did not understand all of that. But the truth is he was giving the promise. Now, let's talk about your promises. Let's talk about the hopes and the dreams that you have in your life and your family. And many of them are God-given. And we've already talked about how God wants to bless you and God wants to take care of you. But listen, God doesn't want anything in your life above him. Okay, listen, don't seek the blessing. Seek the blessing giver. Listen, don't go to God for what you can get. And you can get a lot. Don't misunderstand me. But see, when God puts something in your heart, when he puts a dream in your heart, he never wants that dream to be above him. So he's telling Abraham, Abraham, I've given you a promise. Now will you give the promise back to me? Let's continue to read the story. Excuse me. Abram stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham took the ram, offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. While Abraham and Isaac were going up one side of the mountain, the ram was coming up the other side. Listen, God is working in your life behind the scenes. They did not see the ram until it was the right time, but it was always coming. Think about your life, because I can be there too. You think, come on, God, where are you? Come on, God, where are the promises? Come on, God, why don't you do what you said you were going to do? And it's coming. It's working. He's moving behind the scenes. And when it's time for you to see it, you will. So they take the ram and they offer it as a sacrifice. And God tells Abraham, you were willing to not hold back your own son. Now, here's the amazing parallel between these two stories. Okay, Abraham didn't have to give his son, but God gave his son. At the last minute, he wasn't taken down off the cross. At the last minute, he wasn't saved. He went all the way. He died to save us. Amen? All right, let me continue the story. So Abraham took the ram, offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, which is Jehovah Jireh. All right, that's in Hebrew, and it means the Lord who provides. The Lord is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord, He's your provider, amen? He is Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. Stop right there. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. You can trust the Bible. You can trust His Word, you can trust His promises, and you can build your life on God's Word. And the greatest thing God can swear by is Himself. He warns us not to do that. Don't swear by the hair on your head. Don't swear by anything that you have. Don't do it. But God says, I swear by myself. And He told Abraham that, and He's telling you that. And listen to what He says to him. He says, by myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing and you've not withheld your son, your only son. Listen to what he says. In blessing I'll bless you. In multiplying I'll multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is of the seashore. And your descendants will possess the gates of your enemies. Abraham has natural descendants. And he has spiritual descendants. The natural descendants are the Jewish nation. Okay, if you're of Jewish background and you're a Jew and you know it, you're a natural descendant of Abraham. But he also has spiritual descendants, and that's us. He said that you'll have descendants as many as the stars in the sky or of the sand of the seashore. That's the spiritual descendant. How did you become a descendant of Abraham? Because the Bible says when you received Christ as your Savior, you became the seed of Abraham. And he said that his descendants, you and I, would possess the gates of our enemies. Now listen, gates represent authority. You have authority over the devil. You have authority over darkness. Our enemies are not physical. Our enemies are spiritual. And as a descendant of Abraham, you have the right to control the gate into your family and to possess the gates against your enemies. You can take authority over the devil anytime you choose to. Last night I went to bed and went to sleep, and I woke up at 4:30 this morning. Well, I turned over and went back to sleep. Well, I didn't get up till about 6:30. Well, from 4:30 to 6:30, I had terrible nightmares. That last 2 hours of sleep, I had all these crazy nightmares. Listen to me. Nightmares a lot of times are spiritual warfare. Listen, if you dream crazy bad things and you wake up and think, what is wrong with me? Man, I need help. Well, you do need help. You need Jesus. Amen? All right, so I'm having these crazy nightmares for 2 hours, and when I got dressed to get ready to come up here to get ready, I took authority over the devil. I took authority over his attack. I took authority over his torment, and it lifted just like that. And I was thinking about it, and Miss Vicky and I were talking about it. And it's like, well, why were you having bad dreams? Well, how about it's Sunday? How about it's church? How about souls are hanging in the balance? How about the devil wants to knock me back on my heels? Listen, you have a right to take authority over the devil. You don't have to be a preacher. You just say, in the name of Jesus, get your hands off me, and he will. Amen? Amen. All right, now let me finish. It says, you will have descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants will possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. That seed is Jesus. All the world has been blessed because of Jesus, because you obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men. They rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Did you know that later on, Sarah dies and Abraham remarries and he has 5 more sons? He has a total of 7 sons. Listen, when God fixes something, he fixes it good. Don't miss that. Abraham was too old to have a baby, and when God said, you're going to have a baby, he had 7 of them. Amen? I mean, his first wife passed away and he married another one and had 5 more. I hope that poor woman didn't pass away, right? My Lord, 7 more kids, but only one of them was the child of promise. Listen, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Isaac was the sacrificial son. Jesus is the sacrificial son. And you and I have been redeemed. We've been delivered. The price has been paid. And you and I are welcome in our Father's house. We're welcome in the throne room. You can come in boldly without guilt, without shame, without anguish. And the enemy has no authority or power over you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all stand up and let me pray for you this morning. Man, that's some good preaching. Man, come on. I love the Word of God, don't you? Amen. Father God, thank you this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're our kinsman redeemer. I want to take a moment this morning with you. Just close your eyes, and I want to ask you a question this morning. What about your dreams? What about the things in your life? You know, have you been trying to do your own thing? Have you been maybe lukewarm or have maybe even thought about walking away from God? Well, I want you to take a minute this morning right where you're standing, and I want you to just ask God to forgive you. I just want you to repent. I want you to ask God to kindle the fire in your heart fresh and new and tell God, God, I want to walk with you, and I want your plan for my life, not my plan. Just right where you're standing, you take a moment. Then I want to ask another question. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I know Jesus. I don't know that he is my kinsman redeemer. All you have to do is invite him in. All you have to do is say, Jesus, be my Savior. I repent of my sin. I repent of doing my own thing and living my own way, and I want to surrender my life to you. Now, as you do business with God this morning, let me pray for you. Father God, thank you this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you're our kinsman redeemer. Thank you, Lord. We repent. We repent for living selfish, self-centered lives. We repent for doing our own thing, and we surrender fresh and new to you this morning. Lord, we want you on the throne of our heart. We want you to lead us and guide us and direct us, and we relinquish our lives to you fresh this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you're our Savior. You're our Redeemer. You are the innocent, sacrificial Son who gave your all for us, and we're thankful for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, I love you. God bless you. Y'all go, and I'll see you next time.